Oh hey, didn't see you there. Welcome to Secondary Fermentation, episode number 85.
85. We're still alive, in case you're wondering.
85 and still alive.
It's been a month.
It has been a month.
There might have been like one to two people that were concerned about us.
They probably were like, where?
They didn't post on time. They must be dead.
My 10th favorite podcast is not...
You know what? If I was in anybody's top 10 favorite podcast, I'd be pretty happy about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, me too. It's like, this is the one where I half listen when I'm doing some undesirable yeah. task. Then I've exhausted all my other podcasts.
I don't have this grand illusion that we're anybody's favorite podcast, but... Well, I guess we're Lauren's favorite podcast, right? She listens every week.
Definitely not. Yeah. Oh, man. Remember that time she said that she accidentally listened to an episode?
Yeah. That was a knife to the heart.
That was. It was pretty bad. You know what else is a knife to the heart? Not really. This Corona we're drinking here.
Mm.
It's a mix-up. A macro lager.
Yeah. You know, we're changing the scope of this whole podcast to a micro to a macro beer project.
Yeah, it's macros only.
Yeah,
micro
because we're watching
macro.
Our macros. We're really trying to get in shape, and people say you've got to watch your macros. So that's what we're doing.
Yeah,
I think that's what they're talking about.
Yeah, I think that's it. Is watch your macros, and also because of my class right now, we're studying macroeconomics. You know, we switched from micro to macro. So
see. When I did economics in college, I liked macro better than micro, but
me
most
too.
People were like, oh, I like micro better.
No, I like macro. I think this is more conceptual versus like math, busy math, you know?
Exactly.
Like.
I think it was the concepts of macroeconomics that really interest me.
Yeah.
But
for sure.
Yeah. But, so Joe alluded to some schoolwork, you know, just been a little bit busy this summer, especially the last few weeks with some travel.
Mm-hmm.
Joe's busy with his class and... Also hoping to raise a child, so just needed a little bit of a summer hiatus and
skipped a sowed.
Yeah,
you know, broke everybody's sowed.
Skipped an episode. Now we're drinking Coronas.
Yeah, I say sowed because that came from an old Tosh.0 back in the day.
Is that how we, okay?
That's where we're at. Yeah, because somebody wrote on Twitter. They like commented on Twitter on one of his things, and he read on there. And then the person wrote in their Twitter post sewed, and I thought that was so funny. It was like, who says sewed? But now I do.
Now I
because
me,
of
I'm
that.
Yeah, there's I think he still does that on his podcast now. Tosh does, like, every once in a while we'll do a shout out to like comments on the podcast episode release. It's usually like the people that have a lot of crap to say, and sometimes he's just like writes them off, and other times he goes into these like long rants about like, you know, why you're wrong and why this is a dumb opinion. And he's like, oh, this gets me so riled up.
It gets me so razzed.
I'm so razzed, yeah.
Oh, man. But yeah, speaking of razzing news.
This is some razzing news.
Some razzing news and economics.
Mm.
With the unfortunate closure of New Anthem, there is a little bit of new life being breathed into one of their old locations. Nick, why don't you tell the people the information they crave to hear?
Yeah, in case you didn't know, isn't that a country song?
I think probably. Yeah. It sounded very familiar.
If you are familiar with Odin Brewing Company based out of Greensboro, North Carolina, which opened in 2019, yeah, we definitely have seen them around. And actually, Jen and I got a deck of the North Carolina Brewers Guild playing cards that they sell at a lot of these breweries. And they like each card has a different brewery from North Carolina listed on there. And Odin Brewing is one of those on there. But they are actually planning to open a second location in Wilmington. And it's going to fill in the vacancy left behind on Dock Street by New Anthem Beer Project. So that news just came out recently within the last few weeks. And they're getting their renovations started. And they've got the permits and all that. So it shouldn't be too long of a process because the space exists. It's just a matter of getting it renovated to their liking and, you know, filling in all the equipment that they need to operate. But that Dock Street location was definitely a historic part of the Wilmington beer scene. So
yeah,
it's kind of cool to see somebody come in with Odin. And really, I haven't had a lot of Odin beer, so now it should be a little more accessible.
Yeah.
We don't go to Greensboro. We usually kind of go through it. But
yeah, I don't know if I ever like stopped in Greensboro. But
yeah, and like I think I've seen some of their beer, some places locally might have their beer on tap, but I just, you know, I went through Untappd and I just didn't see, a lot of check-ins from Odin. So it'd be nice to have an opportunity to try them. But yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting because, you know, they have the Dock Street location and also the Greenfield Street location, which Joe and I were just talking about before we started recording. Like, maybe that'll get filled eventually too, because that's a great venue, and it definitely was, you know, still a big shock when Wilmington closed.
Super modern too, like, but brand new.
Yeah, brand new. So I'm hopefully Wilmington will kind of come back. They lost, you know, it's a big hit for them to lose both of those New Anthem locations. So
yeah, but
good news to Odin Brewing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So looking forward to them being there. But yeah, we mentioned we're drinking Coronas, and it's not for just any reason. We just didn't decide, hey, let's crack some Coronas, slap some limes. We did cut up a lime, throw a lime in our glass. But the reason we got the Coronas was to set the stage for today's episode.
Setting the mood.
Setting the mood. And today's episode is going to be about Mexican-style lagers or cervezas. Now, Nick came up with this topic, and I can't help but ask, were you inspired by our trip to Salud Cerveceria?
You know,
he came up with this topic.
That played into it. When we went to Charlotte and went to Salud, that kind of namesake just really invokes the idea of like cervezas. And then we had, you know, sort of like a taco night with some friends recently and cracked out Coronas with lime. And it's like, you know, I don't ever really think, God, I could just use a Corona right now. But
yeah,
certain settings like, yeah, like a taco night or even just like kind of a beachy vibe or something like that, like a nice Mexican lager with a wedge of lime hits the spot. And so then I was like, you know, this time of year, all these craft breweries around us and in North Carolina, outside of the eastern North Carolina region, are making, you know, cervezas, Mexican lagers on draft. And it's just that time of year where it's really popular, I think, for the craft brewing industry to make these types of lagers. You know, especially here locally, we've got our kind of local breweries like Local Oak and Naughty Dog, and, you know, Pistry, I think, has made a cerveza.
Yeah.
Local Oak's actually done like a dark lager too, a dark Mexican lager. So
yeah, and cerveza is important for Local Oak. It's their one beer that they brew,
yeah,
like for the summer season. Like everything else is all one offs. Or sometimes they'll do like some very rare like resurgences, but
yeah,
usually they're new stuff all the time, but they keep the cerveza flowing all summer long.
Yeah, it's a staple there, and they sell a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense because when it gets this hot, it's been super hot here, you know, you just want something that's light and refreshing. And, you know, people that maybe are trying to go towards craft, it's nice to have different light options besides, you know, you can get a nice Pilsner. And I'm seeing still a push in other lager styles. A lot of lighter ales, too, are coming out this time of year. But something about the cerveza, it's like it just...
crisp.
It's a lot crisp, and we'll go into detail because there's kind of a reason behind why some of the Mexican lagers are actually a little more crisp than some other lager styles. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, but I guess first, since we cracked the Corona, what are your thoughts on this baseline macro Mexican cerveza?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I think it's not bad. It's you know, it does the job. It is refreshing with the lime, and the lime wedge is almost ubiquitous to, you know, any kind of macro cerveza or Mexican lager. But yeah, definitely tend to get some off flavors in these, mostly because they're really susceptible to skunking or light pollution from having the clear bottles, or the, I guess they're mostly clear for them, for like the Mexican lagers. You know, your Coronas are clear. I think Modelo, those are clear too, right?
Yeah,
except for their like dark lager. But that is one kind of downside, unless you get the cans, which, you know, they've also produced these in cans. But that aside, I think, you know, it's okay. It's not a beer I, you know, I'm not going to say I'm a snob and wouldn't drink it, but definitely leaves a little bit to be desired as far as, like, rounded flavor. It's just...
I feel like the lime adds that missing depth, but still, then it's kind of still monotone. Like, I used to always hate... I had a friend in college who always would joke that he drinks TV beers, like, or like all the beers that were on the commercials, like, you know, like Heineken, Corona, you know, Bud Light or whatever. And I hated Corona and Heineken because of that skunk like flavor. Now I don't mind it as much, you know. I think that my palate's a little more expanded than it was then. But even when you cracked this one open, like, you just cracked the bottle, like the top off the bottle, and like started pouring. I was like,
you can smell
what
it.
What was that smell? I was like, oh gosh, what happened up here? But then I was like, oh wait, it's the beer. Like, I thought the dog had done something. It's like, but yeah, it's just that light struck skunk smell, which, if we want to get technical with it, so it's UV light reacting with hop compounds. And if you want to get real technical, isohumulone and riboflavin. And then this creates a new flavor active compound, MBT, 3-methyl-2-butene-1-thiol, which gives that skunky smell. And this reaction happens really quick, especially, and you've got these clear bottles. I have so many chance for exposure to light and UV rays. So that was always the flavor I hated. I mean, right now, drinking this Corona, I'm like, yeah, I could have a few of these. They're fine.
Yeah. But again, with that lime, I think that kind of is what saves the flavor a little bit. And there's nothing wrong with that to a degree. But I also feel like the purpose of having a good beer should be that you can drink it without needing to, like,
accessories.
Yeah, accessorize it with, like, something to doctor up the flavor and be able to palate the beer.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, that was also probably partially my bad, because when I bought these, we had a few with our taco night gathering, but then the other ones, when we brought them home, I kind of forgot them on the counter for a couple days. So definitely was exposed to some light getting in through the windows, and I realized, oh, I should put these in the fridge somewhere where they're out of
Well, I think that's fine, sight. Though, because it's part of the characteristic. Like, if they didn't want that to happen, they wouldn't put it in clear bottles anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, it is an iconic look, that clear bottle, but it also makes it easier to put the lime wedge in a bottle. Putting a lime wedge in a can is kind of tricky. And then
I thought you were saying versus an amber bottle. I was like, oh, wait, no.
Nick, they're the same. They're bottles. Yeah, I have a hard time with the green bottle. I just can't put that lime wedge in there.
I try putting it in a bottle. Where'd it go? Oh, man.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's tough, too, to get a lime wedge out of a glass bottle. That's my only gripe with, like, doing this.
Hard to recycle.
We went with the whole pour the beer in a glass and then put a lime wedge in your glass. Much easier. But, like, if you want to recycle your bottle and, to a harder degree, recycle that can and get that lime out of there, it's so hard. You have to almost cut the can open to get that lime back out.
That's why I just smash the bottles on my forehead and then retrieve the glass. Pick through the broken glass, get the lime, scoop it up, recycle it all.
Got shards out of my forehead. And
oh, man.
But, yeah, I mean, I think it sets, just set the tone and the landscape for what we're going to do next. But I guess before we crack into these other beers and introduce those, we can kind of just go in a little bit of detail about the Mexican lager style, a little bit of the history. If you Google cerveza and try to get some information, it's just going to tell you that it's a Spanish word for beer, which is true. So don't expect that to help you anywhere. But if you look up Mexican lager and kind of, you know, what is a Mexican lager? Why is it different than, say, like a standard American lager that we're maybe more accustomed to, and maybe how it's similar? You can find some decent resources. I was on a website from Lowercase Brewing, and they have a nice little article about Mexican lagers, kind of talking about the macro style like we're used to with, like, Corona, Modelo, Tecate, that kind of thing, which they're super really popular. And actually, as we know, Modelo Especial specifically is the number one selling beer globally right now. That's, you know, trumping out all the other, you know, macros in the United States. Yeah. So it's impressive. But,
you know, it's funny, one quick observation on this Lowercase website. The Lowercase logo, even though it's lowercase, has a lot of uppercase letters in the logo.
Oh, it does, yeah.
Uppercase L.
It's a really
R.
cool.
The
font's almost kind of hard to read, actually.
Yeah, it's like this cool combination of, like,
it almost looks
either
like Lone Rider
pie slices and dots and straight lines. It's kind of neat, but
I'd like that on a shirt for sure.
Yeah, such a tangent I went off, but
But yeah, the you know, the macro kind of distribution of the Mexican style lager, it's not a surprise that it's number one. And today, they, you know, have information dating back even to 2021 that Mexico is the world's largest beer exporter, which I didn't, I don't think I fully knew that.
No, I didn't. I didn't.
It's kind of a surprise to me, but.
I guess, yeah, because of the other country, like you think of what, like Lion Brewing or something like that, or whatever the Chinese conglomerate companies is the biggest producer of beer in the world, but apparently maybe they just consume mm-hmm. a lot in China and don't export, so.
Yeah, and the other thing that was I didn't know about is that, you know, out of all the exported beer, there's about a 90% of that market that it's basically two groups that own that. Grupo Modelo, which is the one that we're probably most familiar with, because Modelo actually includes things like Corona, Pacifico, Victoria, I'm not familiar with. But the other one is Cerveceria Cuauhtemoc Moctezuma. And they have beers like Sol, Carta Blanca, Tecate, Dos Equis. So really with all those different macro-produced like Mexican lagers, they're kind of under one or under one of two large manufacturers. So those companies kind of hold 90 plus percent of all the sales and exported beer from Mexico. But, you know, to each their own, they're all kind of very similar to me. I have, we have a few that are just a little more accessible, but, yeah, they definitely ship out a lot of those beers, but.
You know, and what's crazy is, so just looking at some more statistics on their exporting, data, so this is from 2022 data, but that year they exported almost $5.5 billion worth of of beer, beating the second ranking country, which is the Netherlands. Would not have known that.
That's second. Wow.
Yeah, at $2 billion.
So they doubled, more than doubled. Yeah,
yeah, and closest. Almost five times more than Germany. And the U.S. only at $671 million in exports. So, pretty crazy.
Yeah, and, you know, Mexico is not a stranger to brewing and fermenting beverages. I mean, we know that there's obviously the rise in beer over the last, you know, 100, 130 years. But before that, I mean, dating back 1,000 years, they've been, you know, brewing alcoholic beverages, fermenting beverages, and, you know, kind of going back even 1,000+ years, they are known for having made pulque, which I kind of had heard about before, but it's a beverage that's like really thick, kind of a milky looking beverage. It's alcoholic, but it, you know, it's made from the maguey or agave plants, and it's just fermented. And, you know, agave is obviously really popular in the Mexican kind of cuisine.
Never
as
heard
far
of it.
As what's that?
Never heard of it. I said.
Yeah, never.
Agave? I never heard of it.
Agave? Yeah. So, you know, we know its use in other alcoholic beverages too. But that was kind of their introduction to making kind of a transition towards beer when they had some influence from, you know, European settlers coming over, and then even from Spain, other grains were introduced like barley, and they had. Wheat-based beers, and so that kind of introduced other sources of fermentable sugars for them, other sources of malt, basically. Before that, they kind of were doing more of a kind of a fruit and sap-based drink that fermented off of that sugar, but
yeah,
it's really evolved over time to have these different grains introduced, and most notably as we got closer to modern times is when they realized, you know, corn is a really good source of fermentable sugar, and that's an adjunct by standards today for making beer, but that's where you kind of get a little bit of that corn flavor when you drink a Modelo or a Tecate. You'll have that nice, clean, crisp kind of malt, not particularly bitter beer, but you have like that kind of background mm-hmm. of corn flavor, which is also pretty common in a lot of our American light lagers, but that adjunct of corn was really kind of a big part of the Mexican style lager.
Yeah. And that's, I think the big difference is like the American lagers, the corn is there because it's cheap and you can use it as a source of fermentable sugar. Whereas in these, the corn or the flaked maize that they use mm-hmm. is like a staple of the flavor profile. You know, and talking just that pulque a little more, like they had been brewing that for a long time and it was mainly reserved for like sacrifices or like high priests and things like that.
Yeah.
But, like, really, like you said, when they brought over different grains when Spain came, but really what I was reading, the biggest boon was when the German and Austrian immigrants used to come and settle. The speed of ships and stuff had gotten a little bit better, so the yeast strains could survive as they made it over. And one other thing I didn't even think about is that hops are not native to Mexico, like, so you can't grow them there because it's too hot, which makes total sense. So that's why they have these other, like, fermented flavored beverages and or flavored but like fermentable sugar sources.
Yeah, and you know, and that's it makes the lager a much more sustainable beer to make, with, you know, only needing to kind of have some of the noble hop varieties to make the, you know, the lagers. And yeah, another thing with those, like, those immigrants coming from Germany and Austria, you know, they introduced sort of the Vienna malt, which was kind of the original malt that was introduced, and that style was kind of the backbone for what became the modern day Mexican lager, which I thought was pretty interesting, because I wouldn't think that they're very similar to, like, a Vienna lager next to a Cerveza now is like not even similar. Close.
But yeah, it was interesting to see that it's got, a lot of it's based off that. Maybe if you're thinking of a dark Cerveza or something, but I would never be like, oh yeah, this beer evolved from Vienna lager.
Yeah, and I guess maybe we should try like a Modelo Negra next to a Vienna lager. I wonder how similar those might be.
Very curious.
Kind of more now what we think of as a you know, a Mexican lager is probably more of like a Pilsner malt, and then of course you've got like the flaked maize as the adjunct. So, you know, that in theory it is kind of close to, I think, the like American light lager. And actually, you know, I was kind of curious what BJCP or the Beer Judge Certification Program would recommend for that, because I looked and they don't have a style category for that. No. So you can't enter your Cerveza or Mexican lager directly into a named category, but they have their style suggestions guide, and the suggested style is actually to go under the International Pale Lager, or 2A on the list of BJCP styles. So that seems to be the most commonly used one I saw, but some people do enter theirs into the American Lager and American Light Lager categories, just because the adjunct of corn is part of the judging criteria for, you know, the American lager category.
Interesting.
And I think that, you know, with the IPL, it's not necessarily required, or it's not always indicative of that style. So I thought, I don't know, I think you could go either way, but most people probably, if they're trying to follow the guidelines of BJCP or the suggestions of their style guidelines, they probably go with the 2A or the International Pale Lager. So Lowercase Brewing website, they also have a section about, you know, why do we have lime?
Yeah.
Like, the lime synonymous with the Mexican lager.
Why are we sticking limes in these beers?
Yeah, even with, you know, Loco Loco doing their Cerveza, a craft Cerveza, they know people like a lime, so they have those available for those who wish to have it added. I think when I've had one without and one with. I mean, I've had more than two, but I've had both varieties. And what I noticed about theirs is, you know, it doesn't necessarily need the lime. It has enough of that, you know, delicious malt flavor, that really crisp body, that really light
crisp
effervescence that really just kind of is perfect for a hot day. And that's what I'm more looking for. I mean, the lime just add a little bit of refreshment to it, but it, you know, it's not meant to kind of supplement a flavor. Well, it is meant to supplement. It's not meant to like mask off flavors or to make it a little more palatable. Whereas, you know, something like a macro distributed beer, you know, there's a lot of sources of off flavors that are available through the, you know, being light process, struck or that kind of thing. So, but yeah, the introduction of lime is kind of a mystery. There's not really any clear consensus on how it came to be, but there's some theories behind that. You know, it could have been that, you know, the chelada drink, which is really popular, that adds lime that way. Plus you have like your, you know, salt, and you make it like a kind of a more of a mixed beer cocktail. Mm-hmm. It's really refreshing, but that's one idea. There's also an idea that there was one person that kind of did it as a bet, and it kind of just started a trend, which I'd be kind of curious more about how that might work. But also someone said it could be like the acidity from the lime to disinfect the bottle when you put it in.
Interesting.
Like, it kind of concerns me, like, shouldn't the bottle be clean?
I guess not. Like, if you think about a can, like, think about the stuff that goes through before you just stick your lips on it.
Yeah, the can is, like, I actually had to rinse a couple of these cans off today because
crusty.
A lot of times when you get, like, cans that are, they've got the, like, cardboard rings as the holder because mm-hmm. they're more eco-friendly. The can tops are more exposed than some that are packaged like in a 12-pack box.
Collect some dirt.
Or they have those like plastic toppers that you know, click on and off. So
see, people always said about the lime was keeps the flies out.
Oh, yeah, that too. Which I don't. Do flies not like citrus? I don't know.
I think it's just because it physically like blocked it. You know, like if you don't actually like, stick it in all the way, if you just have it sitting.
But then
in
how
the
do
top.
You drink it?
I know, right? You'll float.
I guess you can siphon through a little
move
bit.
Move it out or something. I don't know.
Well, actually, maybe they don't like citrus. Are citronella candles like, do they contain citrus in the like smell of?
I don't know.
I don't know. What is the smell of citronella candles?
Citronella oil is essential oil obtained from the leaves and stems of different species of Cymbopogon.
Cymbopogon?
Yeah, I have no idea. So that didn't really answer the question.
Well, then we'll never know. But however it came to be, it is the kind of custom now with, you know, more often than not, you're seeing people shove a lime wedge in their Mexican lagers. Yeah. So whoever did it, whoever came up with it, good idea.
Yeah, so now that we have a good idea of what the history is, what makes a Mexican lager, and that there are other options out there besides the macros, we've got a lineup of beers here. Do you want to just run through them real quick, and then we can crack one and give them a taste and do a little rank?
Do a little rank, a little side-by-side showdown, a little cerveza showdown.
A little cerveza standoff.
And, you know, cerveza standoff.
A little Mexican standoff.
We've got a Mexican standoff. And the nice thing is we are able to get all North Carolina-based breweries, so whenever we have an opportunity to do that, we try to.
I thought we were doing Mexican lagers.
Wait, so are these, there's North Carolina lagers. Starting us off here, I was really pleased to find this at Lowe's Foods. They have a Dissolver collaboration with Beer Hall Brewing, Mexican-style lager, Cenicero Lime. So most of these, except for one, are going to have some lime adjunct, just a spoiler.
Hopefully not too much. That's the one thing I think sometimes when breweries do a little overkill with it. The lime, you're like...
Yeah. This one I'm kind of curious about. The next one I've got is from Heist Brewery in Charlotte. They have a beer called Two Lime Crew, and it's made with lime and key lime. Never seen a key lime in a Mexican-style lager, so that'll be interesting. And then we've got Fiesta de la Sandia from Casita Brewing Company nearby in Wilson. This is their Fiesta beer, but they added watermelon, lime, and chilies to this one. So this one's got tons of adjunct. This will be really interesting.
We should try that one last. Don't want to overwhelm our palates.
Yeah, the chilies might take over if it's got enough spice. And then maybe we'll start this one because it's just the most straightforward Mexican lager without a ton of adjunct. This is from Mason Jar Lager Company. It's their Luchador Mexican Lager.
Luchador.
So.
Yeah, why don't you give that a crack?
You got a glass rinsing water.
Ooh. Yeah, and so the Mason Jar Lager Company, as their name suggests, they really specialize in doing different lager styles. So this one comes in at a nice 5%. They actually have the SRM on the can, 5.7, which is really nice. I mean, I don't think a lot of people would know what to do with that information unless you're a BJCP nut or aficionado. But yeah, so this one should be good. It should be just a typical lager. We're going no lime wedge in this one. Maybe at first. Maybe we'll add lime later. We'll see.
Old Mason Jar.
Mason Jar Lager Company. Forgot to say they're in Fuquay, Verena.
Oh, Fuquay.
So also not terribly far from here. It's within a couple hours, I think.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So starting off. Beer's got a little haze to it.
It
Unfiltered.
Does.
Unfiltered. Usually you think of Mexican lagers as super clear, super crisp. A lot of them fit in the Clara style of beer, which means clear. But this one's got, you know, decent amount of haze to it. Kind of a thin head, but it's persistent. Got it. It's kind of looks like beer.
Yeah, the haze is actually pretty interesting for a beer of this style, so I wonder if it'll come through in any kind of additional flavor.
I think it's some malt sweetness, kind of a smell, and a little bit of corny smell as well.
Mmm. Okay.
Not like a DMS type, but yeah.
Yeah. And like a, I don't know, it's a touch sweet smelling to me. And then I took my first sip and yeah, it definitely is a lot more complex than the Corona.
Oh yeah.
And this is, you know, of course without lime. So that's kind of a tough comparison to make. We're not going with the lime on this one, but.
Full bodied and
mm-hmm.
The corn kind of comes through. Like I'm just thinking about another, like just different lagers that I've had recently and. Just the profile on this, the corn is like pretty heavy, but it's got some sweetness. The finish is interesting, I feel.
Yeah. I had one sip where I kind of was like, oh, it's almost giving me a little bit of like a dry white wine or like a champagne kind of like just sharp astringency at the end there.
Mm-hmm. But then like a little floral herbal kind of burst as well.
Yeah, and that'd be totally fine with me. I mean, you definitely don't want to have anything overly bitter with a cerveza or Mexican lager because that kind of goes against the whole style. You know, we want something low bitter, you know, typically pretty clean profile, but yeah, this one definitely really nice, really crushable, and it's just I think a pretty noticeable, you know, standout against a lot of the other Mexican lagers that we're used to drinking.
Yeah. And the biggest thing, no skunk.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to cans.
Crisp, clean, refreshing. Little malt-like sweetness, but yeah. Very dry finish, I feel like.
Yeah, I guess maybe that's where it's just like... It is. It reminds me a little bit of just like a dry white wine kind of on the back end, which, you know, nothing wrong with that. It kind of makes you just want to take another drink after.
It does. It's like, I want to keep sipping. I'm almost finished this. Half a pour.
Yeah. I wonder if I've had this before. It's hard to tell. I know I've had a lot of mason jar lager beers before. We should have had this in a mason jar. What were we thinking?
Son of a...
That's like Toby Keith. He likes to drink his beer from a mason jar. I have had Luchador Mexican lager. I had a Jack Brown's. Oh, I just had this in April.
You're like, I had it this morning.
Oh, I had this for breakfast. Yep. I had this...
I have not had it. I have now.
I had it with Jen, and I think our friends Will and Elizabeth were there with their little girl, Hazel. So I think I see her peeking in the background of my photo. So, yeah, we... Jack Brown seems to have a lot of the Mason Jar Lager Co. beers on tap, so... I give it a 3.5 then. I think I'd give it a little bit higher now. I don't know. Maybe something, you know... Was just off with that keg, or I mean, obviously, I didn't hate it because I gave it a 3.5, but this I'd probably inch it closer to a 4.
Yeah, that's a
maybe just in the mood for a.
It's just yeah, good. I'm just like, this is good. Well, I guess that could be dashed. I mean, as being number one, it currently sits in the number one slot. You know, we said we were going to try these. Did we say we're doing a showdown standoff? We said the Mexican standoff piece, but
yeah, it'll be interesting to try to do the rank at the end. We'll see how they all compare because they are a little bit different. I mean, there's two with lime, but one of them has key lime, and then there's one with lime, watermelon, and chili, and then just a standard, no adjunct one. So
yeah, we're not like doing a straight BJCP where we're like,
yeah,
this is within this example. These are just purely based off what do we like.
Well, maybe we'll go into this next one here from Dissolver. This is the Cenicero Lime, so Mexican-style lager with a lime adjunct.
Cracking a beer.
Oh, sprayed myself in the face.
Dissolver, one of my favorite Asheville breweries. Last time we went there, got a milk pour.
Yeah.
Also, you know what's funny is, so I had, talking about macroeconomics in this class, I had a group project I had to do, and we had to pick two countries and perform analysis of their GDP and GDP growth, and then choose some like different factors to analyze them on. And I picked Germany and the Czech Republic.
Oh, nice.
Because they're geographically co-located, but very different GDP and stuff. Yeah. Population differences, but.
Yeah, I was actually thinking, I was like, we should do a deeper dive on like Czech Republic and kind of the beer consumption. And
yeah,
I mean, the thing is like there's not a lot of like Czech style beers. Like there's not a lot of Czech variety.
Yeah.
It's just like, there's the consumption is insane.
Highest beer consumption per capita. Yeah. not the highest GDP per capita. It's about 20 something really thousand per person.
The things you learn in economics.
Which also I learned that Czech Republic government preferred name is Czechia.
Mm.
The more you know.
You know, I think that's funny. I think when I've played, not Wordle, but there's a game Worldle.
Mm.
And it's like you get a silhouette or whatever of like a country. Yeah. And I think they list it as Czechia. There's Czechia. One of the options. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, back to the beer. This one here noticeably is much more clear, a lot more clarity. It's still a touch of haze. Like, it's not completely see-through, but it is, like, much clearer.
Did you pour mine first? Mine is very clear.
Yeah, I think, well, I poured myself first when I poured yours and finished mine off. Last. I want to make sure I didn't jip you on volume.
Oh, yeah. Well,
okay, so maybe just a tiny bit on the bottom.
But yeah, so...
Yeah, yours from here looks, like, super clear. Wow. Yeah.
It's got that satisfying... I just love when bubbles rise from the bottom of the glass. Like,
yeah,
just... Ooh. Nothing makes me want to drink a beer more than watching that.
I just want to swim in it. Wish I could freeze it and skate on it and then melt it down in the spring and drink it. I think I butchered that, but...
Close enough.
It's also, like, a lot more straw-colored, duller. The other one, the Luchador from Mason Jar was, you know, a touch of a darker... color. The SRM was a little bit on the higher end, but
yeah. And the nose is so much different on this one.
Yeah, it's pretty light profiles, pretty low key, but
that like sweet malty flavors,
yeah,
or flavor in the smell. No, the sweet malty aroma is not so much there. It's replaced by a more dry, grainy smell with that lime kind of peeking through, right? This one is limed.
Yep, it is sneaking through. Mm. And I will give credit here that the lime flavor has a very like authentic lime flavor.
Mm-hmm. And it's not overwhelming. It's like not like Bud Light lime.
Okay, yeah. They have like a Bud Light orange now, don't they? Have you had that?
No, not.
I don't know if I'd like it. I think I've had the Busch Light peach. And that was okay.
That sounds like it'd be gross. I don't think I would like that very much.
And then they have like Busch Light apple, but that's just, I mean, it's like a cider almost at that point.
Yeah.
But like Busch Light orange, I'm like, I mean, you do like orange in a Blue Moon or something. Yeah. I digress. So, yeah, I think this is a really nice balance of getting that lime flavor in there without just totally punching the face with citrus. Like you said, it's like it can be overdone and... And that can be like, you know, I'm not looking for, you know, if I wanted a lime drink, I would just go get like some kind of lime soda.
Margarita.
Yeah, a marg.
But, you know, this one, the finish, I want to say like bubblegum, not really, but some kind of like little bit of fruity, I don't know if it's the lime or what that's coming through like that for me. I think it is the lime. I think it's just the way the lime's in it. It's got that, like, that retro nasal is where I'm getting it.
Mm. Yeah, for me, it's, like, actually interesting. It's just kind of consistent throughout from when it first kind of hits the taste buds, and then when I, you know, kind of do the retro nasal, I'm not getting a ton of variance, and that's really uncommon for me. I feel like I usually get a much more diverse experience from start to finish with a drink, but...
Yeah, you know what's funny is that I've realized, like, now I take a sip of beer and I breathe out almost instantly through my nose. Mm-hmm. It's like such a nerd.
It's just like, it's muscle memory at this point.
Yeah, just like, And I, like, always, like, take a sniff. People probably, like, watch me and they're like, what is this jerk? Get out of here, you freaking jerk.
Get out of here, hippie.
Okay, I like beer, okay? Get off my back, dude.
Dude, or do that. Mm. It's going to be tough, though, between these two, because they are a little bit different.
You know, I think my personal preference is I think I like the Mason Jar a little better. I think it's the lime mm-hmm. that's doing it for me. I think this one also has a little more. It just kind of tastes a little flatter to me.
Yeah. It looked like, and the thing is, it had such an appearance of like, wow, this is going to be a really crisp, light, kind of lifting beer. But actually, mouthfeel, it's like a fizzy lifting beer. It's just not doing all that heavy lifting, actually. It's actually, yeah, it's a pretty light profile, pretty light mouthfeel, but it's still good, still refreshing. I could see this being like a really good like lawn mowing beer, which I'm going to do I get out of here. I have to mow the lawn, so maybe I'll drink one of those.
I have to mow the lawn so badly.
I know. Well, I'm like, I have to do it today because...
You're going to be out of town.
Yeah, we've got stuff coming up, and it's got to get done. But I was like, you know what? It's perfect because it's like we can record. By the time I get down here, maybe it'll be less hot.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I was going to do
tomorrow. I'll have a couple beers in me, so I won't care as much when I'm mowing the lawn. I'll be...
chop my foot off.
Chop my foot off. It won't hurt.
Well, oh, that's unfortunate. Let's keep going.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah.
So you're putting right now your Luchador ahead of the Cenicero.
I wonder if I should have saved some of the other one to do like a final.
Ooh, I didn't think about that. No, I kind of screwed us
up. Let's just do real time. I'll just keep it in my memory.
We'll do it live.
Do it live.
Yeah, I know in the past we've done these showdowns and we always keep a little bit and I forgot.
You know, I need to invest in some good like flight sets that we can like... I have one, but I think I lost half the glasses and it's kind of a low quality one. But I'd like to just, you know, make a good set of, you know, 4 or 5 ounce tasters.
Yeah.
And we could use them on the pod.
That'd be tight. So, I think for now, I might do the Cenicero Lime, followed very closely by the Luchador. We'll see where mine goes the last two because we have two more to add into the mix.
Question about the last one, real quick. Was there any salt added or anything like that?
Good question. You actually just reminded me there's some useful information here on the can. So they have Riverbend malt, Cumberland pills, Vienna malt, Hickory King Corn, Quell melon hops, and fresh lime zest and juice. No mention of salt, but that's a...
I'm getting a briny salinity.
Yeah, a little briny, yeah.
What it really reminded me of, a very specific thing, is kind of ramen. ramen, but like the pack, the seasoning pack. Like if you get a little, I got a little on my finger, let me lick it off.
Yeah, because it's just so like, high in sodium that you just get like mostly
and
salt.
It was like kind of the, I was getting a little smell and maybe a tiny bit of a taste. It was like such a weird memory, but it just triggered it. You know how that happens?
Yeah. You go back to a time and place.
Oh, I remember the days when I ate ramen last week.
This morning for breakfast with my beer.
I just boiled it in beer.
So, I guess we'll go from one lime to two limes with the Heist Two Lime Crew. This is a really cool can. I mean, these are the coolest limes I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, they are.
One of them's sporting some like snap Wayfarers, and then there's a snapback.
Which one's the key?
I don't know. That's a good question. But I haven't really been talking about ABV consistently. I don't know. In case I didn't mention Luchador, which I might have, 5.0%.
All right.
And then the Cenicero Lime, 5%.
All right.
And then followed by the Two Lime Crew from Heist, 5%.
All right.
So
they better all be 5%. If not, we got to throw the...
You know what? We won't look at that one yet.
We'll just wait.
We're going to wait and see. We're going to wait and see. It's going to be a surprise. We'll throw a little party if it is. But without further ado... All right, so,
Oh, thank you.
I may need to pour a little more in yours. Actually, you know what? I can save a little bit in the can.
Yeah, we can save and do a little taste.
Sorry for the first two. I did not give you the same courtesy.
Already, way different in appearance from all of them. This is the palest of all.
Very pale. Very pale. I mean, I did try to pour not super aggressive, but even still it leaves like an inch thick collar of foam here.
Thick boy. The thickest foam we've seen thus far.
Like, these bubbles are just packed tight.
The palest beer we've seen so far. Little bit of hay, or I'd say it's in between haziness from the two we've had, so it's definitely not clear. You can see through it, but not well. But yeah, it's a very, it's like a, almost kind of like a Whitbeer color.
Yeah.
It's like whitish looking.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's like between straw colored and like just white.
It's like sun-faded straw that's sat in a hay bale for 3 months.
The hay's like, I need your help. You need to kill me.
kill me.
But yeah, the smell too, much more pronounced lime character. It's kind of like all I can smell on this one. Not to be surprised, but...
To be fair.
I mean, it does tout two different limes, so...
Yeah, and it's a different kind of lime. It's more of a, it's like a brighter.
Yeah, I mean, that lime. Key lime, it's like a lot more tart, I feel like, and it's a lot more, I don't know, it's got that zest and that tartness. It's just like.
Yeah, and I wonder if it's the.
Super fragrant.
The way they did the lime for the dissolver one, because it's two totally different lime profiles. Like, this is the one where it's like you squeeze the juice into it. And you're getting hit with that citric acid.
Mm.
Where the last one was more like, this tastes like lime, you know?
Yeah, the last one with that lime zest and the juice, I think it brought forth a lot of authentic lime flavor. Yeah, this one is like, I don't know, I don't really enjoy key lime pie, so I don't have a great hold on like what, you know, key lime should taste like. But... I do know that, you know, compared to a regular lime, it's a lot more like, yeah, zingy, and like it's like a lot more tart and acidic to me. Like you said, that citric acid just kind of comes in really hard. And that's like my first sip of this. It was like kind of puckering a little bit.
Did you know that key limes are also known as Mexican limes?
No way.
According to this AI overview from Google search.
You know, so maybe they were like, hey, we're taking this all the way authentic Mexican style lager with Mexican limes.
Which I guess conventional limes are Persian limes. What? Is this real?
Persian?
I don't even know if this is the truth. But anyway, yeah, this beer, a lot more lime profile.
Yeah, this to me is like tiptoeing the line of like a lime zested lager versus like kind of like a dessert beer.
Yeah.
Like we've had some of those like key lime like blenders or like sour beers, and it's like because you can get some of that like flaked oat or like flaked malt flavor that kind of gives you that pie crust kind of vibe mixed with the key lime, you're like, oh, I'm just eating like pie.
Yeah, this one, it, I think that's a very good point, because that's what I was thinking, is it's kind of like the lime that you get in a fruited sour.
Like, and it is like, it's almost sour for a lager.
And you're missing, I think it, the lime overwhelms a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't get any corn flavor. I don't really pick up much malt. It's like acidic. It is almost like, if you didn't know, if this was an LC pick, I probably would have thought it was a sour.
Yeah, we could have easily been fooled with this.
Like, there's those undertones, like those inklings of lager in there, but kind of screams fruited sour. It's just from all the acidity in those limes.
Yeah, can you imagine if somebody made this and they're like, yeah, let me get a lime wedge in that. What?
Get out of here.
So at that point, you're drinking like a 50-50 beer to lime juice ratio.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I don't know. Just because of, yeah, that this is the one that's like, it's a lot more lime than I would like. Like I said, it is covering up the base beer, that Mexican lager style. So, you know, I can't really put it too high in that regard. It's still a very palatable and, frankly, crushable beer. that I would drink quickly because it's just like, it's this limey, it's refreshing. It's like
poolside beer.
How could you not like it? Yeah, exactly.
Like, excellent pool beer.
But if we're trying to do like, you know, based on merit of like the style and my palate, this is going to go third.
That's where it's sitting for me too.
Yeah. But it doesn't mean it's a bad beer independently of this showdown. It's just...
It's garbage. Throw it in the trash. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, give me that Corona instead. Yeah, so put me at the Cenicero Lime, number one, Luchador, number two, and then the two Lime Crew, three.
So I'm the same, just reversing number the one. Top two,
yep. So this next one should be really interesting for a couple reasons. First of all, can it be an even 5% ABV to match the others?
That'd be wild.
But perhaps more importantly than that, the other adjunct flavors that are going to come into play here, I'm really excited. I think I've actually had this before.
Mm.
When I was at Tapped, one of our local bottle shops, I saw this. We were there the other night, and I was like, Fiesta Fiesta. I know I've had their Fiesta Fiesta Lime Lager, which is on there as like a chili beer on Untapped, which I was like, huh. That one actually, that's their cerveza with tajin, lime, black pepper, and chili peppers.
All right.
So this one is kind of that same base cerveza, but instead it's got watermelon, lime, and chilies. And so, well, let's see. Fiesta Fiesta de la Sandia. Yes. Oh, you know what? We had this a couple months ago.
Oh, really?
That was one of the pool beers when we were over here swimming. So.
Oh, that's funny.
But I liked it. I gave it a pretty solid score. Not to, you know, kind of preclude what we're about to do for the taste test. So, oh my gosh. These beers are on fire.
What a crack. You could hear the sizzling, too, or the carbonation release.
Yeah, this has potential to be the most crisp carbonated of the bunch so far.
Is it 5% ABV? That's the question.
Oh, I almost forgot to look. Okay.
If it is, we just need to name this episode 5% ABV.
Well, alas. It's
dashed our hopes.
It's dashed. It actually is the lightest of the bunch at 4.5%.
Hmm. Okay.
Now, that's really interesting because if you can get a beer at 4.5% that packs all that flavor, if I can detect all of those flavors, I'm going to be really impressed, because typically with a beer that light, you know, you're just not going to get all of that going on, because either it's, you know, it's not, you know, the base is too light. And so actually it could go one of two ways. It could be the base was too light, and so all those flavors are kind of just like
overwhelming.
In your face, overwhelming, yeah. Or it's like, they're going to be really subtle and it's just like a light beer throughout.
I can tell just you handing me the glass after pouring it. I smelled watermelon immediately.
Yep.
Sticking my nose in the glass, though, I get watermelon and I get that peppery kind of. It's like almost smells like it's going to be a little spicy.
Yeah, you can. You can get a lot of that pepper flavor and smell. But yeah, this one also is a pretty dull looking beer. It's like dull as in like color, not boring.
What a dull.
How droll.
Drab. Yeah.
But you notice when we pulled it, it was like pretty bubbly, a little bit of foam out the gate, but it's already dissipated quite a bit, except for a tiny little ring around the edge.
It's like a balding man
who's
holding onto those last locks on the side, you know?
You watch yourself.
Hey, you got hair on the top.
Yeah, I've got some on the top.
You got the
still.
Top?
Not very much, but there's still some there. But yeah, it's now just, you know, got that haze. It's like a light gold haze, and then super effervescent, though. There's a lot of action going on still. And I think you could hear, if you heard the crack, I mean, it's definitely got a lot of carbonation.
I'm holding it to the mic, and I can hear it.
It's like Pop Rocks.
And then I hit the mic. It is like Pop Rocks, yeah. Oh, jeez, I keep hitting the mic.
It sounds just like when you have Pop Rocks, and like somebody opens their mouth, and you can just hear it.
Yeah, and you hear it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was interesting because I my brain was going in two ways. It was like watermelon, like juicy watermelon. It was like pepper kick. and I couldn't like separate the two. Yeah. It was like they were combined.
It's like a reminds me like the aftertaste is like a if you ever had like a watermelon jalapeno margarita.
Which is yeah, watermelon goes great with lime and you know, spice, I feel like. So this is watermelon, lime, and chili is like what a great idea for adjuncts. It smells great. It smells a lot more watermelon and sweet than it does like with that spice. You can still get the mm-hmm. pepper flavor, but let me drink it. I think the chili pepper really comes in and kind of
oh yeah.
It takes over in this in the like second act of the drink.
Do you get malt flavor? Any corn, anything like that from the lager aspect?
Mm. It's really tough because I'm getting that kind of cornucopia flavor with, you know, the lime. I'm actually getting the lime now the more I'm drinking it.
Mm.
The lime's kind of more sneaking detectable. Its way in. Yeah, it's like, hey, I'm here too. And I think with that and like the juicy watermelon flavor plus the heat from the chili, it's really making it hard to get the, you know, the base kind of Mexican lager flavor in there.
Yeah.
Which yeah, I'm sure with a beer this ambitious, like you're probably like, we use this style because it works well as like a canvas for the other flavors,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, we've talked about that. Like sometimes beer is like the base style is the canvas for you to kind of add to it and, you
know, and especially create a picture. Lager, like a light mm-hmm. Pilsner, you know, a light lager.
Yeah. Whereas the last beer.
Subtle flavor. And then just slap some stuff on it.
Just slap it on. You know, just beat the devil out of it. Put a little happy tree in there. Yeah, so I mean, that's where it's tough because just like the last one, you don't get a lot of the, you know, kind of flaked maize flavor or like, you know, any of the Pilsner malt or any kind of.
No, it's just like peppery, watermelony goodness. And it's almost more of a cocktail type flavor to me than it is that. Or if you got like one of those, not a seltzer per se, but just like a malted beverage that's.
Yeah. Have you ever had ranch water?
Mm.
There's one of the flavors of like ranch water, this variety pack we got was like, it was some kind of. It was a jalapeno or like habanero pepper, but then it was like with, I think, lime or agave or both of those. And so it actually was like a really spicy like seltzer. And I was actually surprised because a lot of times you see, oh, chili
yeah.
or like some kind of, you know, pepper flavor in there. Like jalapeno is a really popular adjunct. And it's like, okay, I can detect that. It's like a little bit of that capsaicin heat. But that was like surprisingly like there's a burn
spice, yeah,
and this one does too. I think it holds up. Like that chili really lingers and it leaves a little bit of that, a little bit of burn on the tongue.
It does, especially in like in the soft palate is where I feel like way back. It's just like kind of that lingering, peppery mm-hmm. burn.
But it's nice, nice yeah. yeah. Man, I like it. Again, I probably like it a little bit more than I did in May when I had it for the first time.
So and where's now, your and, ranking at?
With and the this? Vibes were high then. We were swimming in a pool. It was a great day.
We were Richie-ing like you never saw.
You never seen anybody Richie like this.
A little inside joke. Maybe one day we'll reveal what Richie-ing
yeah.
is.
Maybe one day.
It's probably not what you're thinking at all. Yeah. I can probably say that.
And most people probably like, I have no concept to think of anything. Like,
yeah, I don't even know what it is, but just
what's
based
a,
off.
What's a Richie?
Yeah, what is that?
Richie Rich? Christina Richie? This is going to make a really tough final ranking here. We do have a little bit left of the two Lime Crew or the Casita. I don't know if it's going to change my mind on ranking, though.
No, I think I've kind of locked yeah. mine in.
Yeah, do you have yours? Go ahead.
I
if
do.
You've got them.
I think number one, I'm going to say the Mason Jar, the Luchador. Number two, I'm sticking with Cenicero Dissolver. Number three, I think the Casita's sliding in.
Mm.
And I think the Two Lime Crew from Heist is, I think, sitting last because I'd say I slotted Casita in number three because it sits in the same category as the Two Lime Crew to me, just like a very fruited, very adjuncted, like Mexican lager style. Yeah. And I just liked the complexity of the watermelon, the pepper and all that, versus just the straight kind of lime.
Yeah, man, that's tough. Because I feel like it's like, am I gonna be hypocritical if I bump up one of these beers that were, I told another of the four, like, oh, I'm knocking you down because I couldn't taste the kind of base lager flavor.
Well, I don't think it's hypocritical because it's, well, it's still all based on your preference, but it's also like, if you're going to go ahead and knock that down, why? Is it worth it? Is it going to be worth it what you're doing?
Yeah, because I mean, like, we had two that were lime focused, and I clearly favored one over the other.
If you're going to be that bold, you got to go all the way.
Yeah, so Senesero, I think, is going to be my number one. It's going to hold on to that spot. The tough thing is I'm debating whether I want Casita at two or three.
Because
I had Luchador at two currently, but you know what? Luchador stays at two, Casita three, and two Lime Crew at four. So very similar. We just have our top two kind of swapped. But yeah, I mean, it was just tough because if I'm going purely off of like drinking experience and not trying to include sort of the Mexican lager parameters and kind of like, you know, which ones are maybe holding true to the style or within that kind of vacuum, I might have a different answer. I might say actually Casita number one, then Senesero, followed by the Luchador and then Two Lime Crew.
Yeah, I think it depends what mood I'm in, because if I'm in a mood for just like a, I don't know, the Casita beer is just good. Like, that was just, it was enjoyable. It was like, this is tasty.
And it's like an experience unlike most beers you're going to drink. Like, I think what they've done really well here is like taking flavors that can either taste kind of like, I guess, inauthentic, or they can be overpowering if done, you know, to a higher degree. But they've balanced things out so well to where you feel like, I'm getting like really good watermelon, kind of refreshing, juicy flavor. There's a little bit of a lime in there, like kind of to jazz it up. And then that chili is like, it's not overly spicy, but it comes in and it kind of just mixes with that fruit cocktail. Yeah.
I think from a flavor mastery profile, that one I think is number one to me. I think just from the, if we're going off Mexican lagers and I want to drink the refreshing Mexican lager, that's where I'm going with the Luchador.
Yeah.
But like, I think they could be number one either way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so you've gotten a glimpse into some North Carolina Mexican style beers. Perfect for the summer. All of these beers.
Good. Yeah.
I would recommend them all.
Yeah. It's, you know, we've had so many showdowns where I maybe haven't liked one of them. Or like, oh, this is not my favorite, I probably wouldn't get it again. I would get all these again. It's, you know, just, it depends on what you're going for. If you want something really refreshing and limey, there's a couple good options here. If you want something that's just like, I want a Mexican lager, it's like pure lager, like clean, really bright, the Luchador was great for that. And then the Casita beer was just like an experience, I feel like.
Yeah.
And I feel like I really underrated it on my Untappd score from May.
It's good.
I don't know what I was thinking, but
I still have a little like pepper tingle on my tongue. It's great. Good thing we saved a little extra for that one.
Yeah, for a little extra off-air drinking. So
yeah, and speaking of off-air drinking, just kidding. It's going to be on air. we've got another beer to try, and it's probably going to be a vast departure from what we've been having. I have no idea.
Our palates are just going to be surprised.
We're going to be wrecked. We've got our LC pick of the week.
LC's pick of the week.
LC's pick of the week. She can't, she's not here. She's watching the baby. She's working a week of actually overnights.
Yeah, she's been.
So she's like,
her schedule's all over the place.
Flipping the schedule, doing all sorts of crazy stuff.
All right, so.
Do you want me to assume or are you going to assume?
I will. I'll do the pouring. I'll do the honors. Okay. You can do the assuming.
The position, of course. That was a very, like, textbook crack. You had, like, the nice little psst, and then the ksh.
Yeah. Sometimes I just want to go, like a ripping off of a band-aid, just like, crack. But then that typically leads to more of a mess.
Yeah. There's something satisfying about that first little psst. I have the beverage.
The beverage is in hand.
Oh, wow. Already. It's so funny. Like, so you know that they always teach you to do, like, the drive-by sniff if you're doing an evaluation of a beer? And I feel like no episode have I utilized that more on accident than this one.
On accident.
Like, that. There's been, like, the Corona. Boom. Instantly. Could smell that. Not even close to my nose, that skunk. The watermelon, boom, that was straight up. This beer, I just got hit with, like, hops. Some nice, like, dry hopped goodness.
Yeah, super fragrant hop. Like, if you've ever done a brewery tour and you go into the cold room where they keep all of their, kind of, like, shrink-wrapped hop pellets or, you know, the, like, flake tops, that's what it smells like. It's just tons of lupulin, just, it's super fragrant, it's super just enticing.
It is, it's like complete departure from where we've been. I say we're heading to New England.
Going from Mexico to New England, except all these beers we had before, except for Corona, were brewed in North Carolina, so.
In spirit. Not on Spirit Airlines, but in spirit.
Going from North Carolina to New England on Spirit Airlines. Ooh, okay.
Yeah. This is nice.
Yep. It's juicy. Yep, definitely gonna have to agree with you on the whole hazy / New England IPA direction we're heading.
And this is good.
Yeah. It has a lot of, like, I don't know, I'd say, like, orange or, like, kind of, like, tangerine vibes. Maybe a bit of a grapefruit for some added kind of, like, bitter citrus.
But I feel like, yeah, the orangey mandarin kind of a... But also, like, a different little bit of sweeter, especially on the retro nasal.
Yeah. I can get some pineapple, too.
Yeah, like sweetness coming through.
It's like the Simply Orange with pineapple.
I was like, Simply Orange? There's no pineapple in that. Simply Orange with Simply Pineapple.
Do you remember those commercials for Simply Orange? This guy's voice was so relaxing.
It was like,
Simply Orange. Yeah, these oranges come, and they're from Florida, and we... No additives, just them, Simple Orange.
Just simply none of that other.
He
kind of
sounded a little bit like what's that guy? Is it Sam Neill? Not Sam Neill. The guy with the big bushy like white handlebar mustache.
Oh yeah,
it's like Sam something.
Yeah, Sam.
Oh gosh, what is his name?
Ram Trucks.
Yeah, your new dog.
Now it's Ram.
What? Sam Elliott. That's him.
It, yeah.
Yep, there he is. Yeah, Sam Elliott. He's great. He's got the best voice, and he just looks like a man.
Yeah, he does. It's like
he looks and sounds like when somebody's like, "What's a man?" You just show him a picture of that,
Sam Elliott, and, like, okay.
And give him like an audio clip of that.
I understand now.
That's a bit man. But yeah. So definitely got a haze. You know what's funny is it kind of looks similar to. I think it looks similar to the Casita beer, in color and haze.
Yeah, it's even whiter. Yeah. Was the Casita the white one?
Well, actually, remember. No, it was,
the two
Lime Crew, I think, was the, like, yeah. Near wit beer.
And this is also hazy, but not, it's, like, almost looks kind of just like that one.
Yeah. If I give it a swirl, I can see, like, all these micro bubbles just, like, doing a little vortex in the beer. But there's, like, none of that effervescence you see or any kind of the rising bubbles. It's just, it's a lot more still.
Yeah. The aroma's got that super hop, super fresh hop. It's got a little bit of that dank mustiness that we've come to love. That's not something you would really think would sound great, but it is. It's just, it's good.
Yeah.
This is definitely, yeah, hazy IPA.
Hazy IPA. Any kind of additional comments or guesses you want to throw in? I'm throwing in a guess that, like...
I'm going to say this is from Beer Tree Brew in Binghamton, New York.
That's a really... Well, I wonder how you'd know that.
How would I know that? No, we stopped there on the trip up to my parents' house, and we grabbed some stuff, and this could be one of those. Am I wrong, though?
Ooh. So, this is disappointing because we're not technically correct. But
really?
I can see where we were led astray. Well, not led astray, but I can see where our nose and our palate's kind of led astray. This is Luminous Beings from Y Hill Brewing, based in Raleigh.
Oh, in Raleigh.
So this is a thialized hazy pale ale.
Ah.
No, we did just say hazy. I think we said hazy. We didn't say hazy IPA.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think maybe I might have said New England IPA.
But the fact that it's thialized, now, we haven't done it in a while. We talked about, you know, the thiols and kind of the new technology with people kind of amplifying thiols in beer, because thiols are found naturally in the hop character, but
there's also thiolized yeast and then phantasm powder.
Yeah, all that stuff that really just jazzes up the episode. Hop flavor. Yeah, it was like
phantasmic something.
Phantasmic, yeah. We should maybe kind of revisit that area too, because yeah, this is a 5% hazy pale ale.
5%.
Super.
We gotta call this
5%.
Episode 5%.
Dang it. Casita, you had the chance to make it.
You had the chance.
Oh, man, that's disappointing, but that's okay. An ultra-modern meditation on the relationship between hops and yeast. Bingo. Yep. So double dry hopped with mosaic and moteca and thialized with Cosmic Punch, which I believe we did talk about Cosmic Punch,
yes.
The like powder that they add in. This actually won 2022 gold at the Great American Beer Festival for the
Damn.
Hazy... or the juicy or hazy pale ale category, and the 2022 gold medal for the North Carolina Brewers Cup for the juicy hazy pale ale. So, kudos for an awesome, like a double gold medal winner.
Yeah, and Cosmic Punch is the Omega yeast strain.
Oh, it's a yeast strain. Okay, not the.
But gotcha. Yeah, this is good. And that the reason I said that Beer Tree Brew, because of the hazies we got from there were, ooh. On point.
Oh,
did you
so
have,
good.
We gave you some, didn't we? Where did you try them yet?
No.
They're
we
good.
Did try the one from Saranac, and then the other one was a Pilsner. It was that beer. I think it was a Beer Tree Brewing
Pilsner. Yeah.
And that was a solid Pilsner.
They have some good ones. I had never been to them, but I'm glad that we had the baby, because like we had to stop and we're like, where do we go? And we went to this place.
I'm
at the
glad
factory.
We had a baby so I could stop at these breweries.
That's the only reason. No, usually we
Thank
just hammer through the trip,
baby.
But like I haven't stopped in Binghamton in so long.
Yeah, because it's like, what, 9-ish hours total, or 9 to 10 hours to get to New York?
It's like 12 something,
well,
yeah.
I'm way off.
So like we stopped, and then we stayed the night, and then went the rest of the way, so Binghamton.
But now
like
with a baby,
2 hours
yeah.
from my parents. But,
yeah, and I forgot to wear my Strange Ways hat today. I was going to wear that. They hooked me up with the cool hat from Strange Ways. Quick side story. When I went back home a few weeks ago, back to Iowa, I was going to bring that hat because I knew one of the days I was going to go golfing. And I was like, oh, I'll bring a hat so I can wear it for golfing.
Yeah.
And I forgot it. And I was like, ah, dang it, I forgot that hat. Turned out to be a blessing in disguise because I played a round of golf. My brother-in-law got his cart stuck in the mud, and we went to push it out. I was the idiot who stood directly behind cart when we were pushing. And so when it got free, it just... tire spun up, kicked all the mud at me, and it just covered me like head to toe. And so like I was wearing this cheap hat I had when I was like in high school probably, and I found it in my old room. I was like, I'll wear that today instead. So that hat got ruined in mud.
Oh yeah.
The stranger's hat did not. So you know,
perfect.
It just worked
out.
But,
yeah.
But great beer. This is phenomenal. And yeah, I'm not surprised they won 2 gold medals.
Yeah. That was tasty. But yeah, so I guess we just wrapped up Elsie's pick of the week. She got us again. She's a trickster lately.
I know.
But yeah, so thanks for checking out episode 85. If you want to interact with us, send us a message on Instagram. We're at Secondary Fermentation. We're on Facebook at East Carolina Beer and Brewing. Hit our email up if you want to send us something or just have a good old-fashioned electronic mail conversation at eastcarolinabeer@gmail.com. And be sure to leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. If not, we'll see you in the next episode.
Cheers.